on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now it's time to continue taking a look back over 2020 in a positive sense. Maybe difficult to do, I know you might be thinking, but it's not the case. As on Cambridge 105 Radio in our sports coverage, we had some fantastic feature interviews over the past 12 months. Last week, we had one. Just checking, time does get a bit odd at Christmas time. You have to always start remembering days by the date as opposed to it's a Wednesday, but just no idea it's a Wednesday. It's just, well, December the 30th. Anyway, last week, we did an hour featuring some of the best interviews, great community stories. Spoke about how some of the things that people were getting up to in lockdown, like setting up campaigns to run 5K for the NHS or delivering food to local hospitals, those sorts of things, really bringing community together. People doing sort of random acts of kindness, dressing up as superheroes, etc. We've got more of those this week. More positive news stories from 2020. Let's start then with Islam Cricket Club. Well, all the way back on the 8th of April, I caught up with Tim Atchison from the club, who really just set a precedent for how local clubs throughout the community should act, or how they can act throughout lockdown, and the different ways they can really bring community together. Because they joined up and joined forces with the Islam Parish Council at the start of lockdown to help the vulnerable and elderly in the community, delivering food and all sorts for those who need it most. Here I am chatting to Tim about this really wonderful idea.
In the village, there was no preparation for anything happening. And in a quick chat with members of the cricket club, we realised that we're probably in a really good position to help out. We've got a lot, 40 or 50 members who mostly live in the village. So I've phoned up Jo Pawson, who has been working with the cricket club. She basically makes it run for the last few years. And then Mark Goldsack, who's our county councillor for Islam, he's having to self-isolate. And the worst thing you can do to a county councillor is someone who likes to talk a lot is keep them away from people. So we've given him a great job, and he now he's our interface with everybody, and he's doing a fantastic job.
Lots of people involved, and lots of people seem really passionate and keen to get involved in the community and help out. Give us a flavour of some of the things you've managed to do and help people with, as you say, with this partnership with the Parish Council and the Cricket Club.
Well, thank you for mentioning the Parish Council. They've been brilliant. They've been just funding, and we managed to start a GoFundMe page, and the people of Islam have donated to that, and we've already reached our target, and we are starting to spend that money. On a daily basis, we're shopping for vulnerable people or for isolated people who can't get out to the co-op. We have a daily run to the pharmacy in Soham, and we pick up all of the prescriptions in one hit and then bring them back to the village and deliver them around the village. So those are the sort of the everyday needs that crop up. And then we've got some people who are starting, people that have slipped through the cracks who perhaps can't access money at the moment. And as this more and more of those people, where we're actually funding the shopping to be paid, so they can get something to eat. As you probably saw, we got into the news for a fantastic gesture from some of our volunteers. We had a lady, Mrs. Jaggard, and Mr. Jaggard in their 80s. He had a fall. He had to go to Bury St. Heavens Hospital, and they were looking at being separated from each other for quite a long number of weeks. I think they've been together 60 years, and they had no way of contacting each other because the hospitals are shut down. And we had some donated iPhones, iPads, and we managed to get them talking to each other from Islam to Bury St. Evans. So there are amazing ways that you can help that you might not expect if you just volunteer, and that you will get more out of than you would imagine. What a thing to have been involved in. We had a massive delivery from Simpson's Nursery, and we managed to get a whole load of flowers and vegetables for people to grow in their gardens delivered safely around the village. We hope this will be good for mental health in a time where everybody is locked up and kicking their heels and staring at the walls. It's a long time to be isolated in your home. So with a bit of luck, everybody will be out in their gardens, and uh, like many, many other places around the country, Iceland may never have looked as good.
Well, we'll look out for the Village of the Year polls in a year or so when all the flowers have grown. It's an incredible idea, though. I love the gardening. I love the gardening idea. And like you said, over 2,000 worth of gardening equipment has been delivered. And especially with the elderly community, if they can access, if they have a garden, if they're fortunate to have a garden and they can access it like they normally would, then life for them is going to be that slightly more normal, closer to normal, and hopefully not too far away from what it would be.
Well, that's what we hoped, and we're very fortunate to live in a beautiful village where most people have got access to outside space, but this is where we live and this is where we can look after. So we try very hard to help people get out in their gardens and enjoy what at the moment is a bit of beautiful weather.
How difficult has it been in the last week or so, Tim, with the, say, tightening of the lockdown measures slightly?
It gets more difficult. You come up with good ideas, we chat about them, and then we realise that they're very, very hard to actually put into practice. And we keep falling back onto the things that we can do, and the core, just making sure that everybody gets through this with food, with their prescriptions, is our core responsibility. But it's great to be able to try and do other things for the village if we can. And you know, there's a selfish aspect to this. The people who are helping are giving themselves something to do whilst we're all sat at home wondering how long this is going to be. So at least if you've got some focus, it's good for us in the cricket club and the wider volunteers, because it's very important to say that we put a Facebook page out there, and we now have 97 maybe more, because I haven't looked at it today, members on the Iceland volunteers group, and a huge number of those are not cricketers, they're just other villagers who have stepped up. And we put Facebook posts out to say, or Mark does, because he takes the incoming calls, puts a Facebook post out to say, we need shopping to Station Road. And within seconds, someone's jumped up and said, I'll do that. And it's done.
And that is the beauty of it, really. Like you say, started with the cricket club and an idea and the parish council. Now it's grown to have, it's almost 100 members, maybe even 100 members by the time, you know, this goes out in the evening. And I guess that's it, isn't it? That, like you mentioned there, a lot of people could be slightly selfish about it, say, I've got lots of jobs to do, although I've got time off, I've got to be busy, I've got to tie up a few loose ends. But there's a real passion, it seems, for people to help out in the community.
Well, we live in a great village, and it's always been a village that's helped itself, and it's a pleasure to be part of. And it is amazing to see how many people put their hands up. Yesterday we had a delivery of 300 vegetable boxes that we had made up to all the vulnerable people that we can identify in the village. It's tricky to identify everybody. We have, luckily, living on the edge of the fens, we've got lots of vegetable packing plants around us. They've got ties in the village or live in the village, and many of them have donated to us. Thompson Burgess Growers, Marco Caffarelli, Iceland Fresh Produce, Cheese Growers, and DS Smith gave us 3 boxes, and we made up 300 parcels of different fruit, veg, potatoes, etc., which then we managed to get round the village to everybody who was on our list.
And what is the secret, Tim? Because, like you said, you're a small village, but have a cricket club in there and trying to bring the community together. But there'll be a lot of villages, there'll be a lot of cricket clubs out there who are still quite distant. How do you get that real community feel at your cricket club?
It's definitely a village cricket club. It's definitely most of the people who play for the cricket club live in the village. Like most small village clubs, it's a struggle these days. It's a struggle to raise the money that you need to keep going. It's a struggle to get people out on the pitch week in, week out. Cricket isn't as fashionable as it used to be, and it takes up quite a lot of time. But it's still a great game, and it leads to a great social life with with a great pub in the village who looks after us brilliantly at the Rising Sun. And the cricket club guys get together more than just during the cricket season. So it's a great family club. When I, I'm used the overarching term of family there, that looks after its players, and we get good young cricketers who probably should be going off to play for a better club elsewhere, but they normally stay with us, which is great.
You mentioned it's a bit of a struggle. It looks as though that it's going to be even more of a struggle this year. We'll come on to that in just a minute. But does times like this highlight how important local sports clubs are to villages, when they can really act as an anchor and try and bring the village and the community together?
Well, I hope so. And we didn't start this thinking anything but we could help. But, we hope it will do some good for the cricket club. It will be great. It's great for the cricket club to be front and centre of the village. But big thanks to the football clubs as well, because they have donated onto our GoFundMe page. That's the youth football and the senior football. I think the cricket club really, it comes back to it, benefits from just having it's rooted in the village. It's all its players live in the village. So we're definitely all part of that community, and I can't really say any more than that.
I don't think Tim Atchison needs to say more than that. A fantastic interview. That was one of our first ones on the 105 Sports Special at the start of lockdown and when the pandemic was growing. And it just really demonstrated to me, once again, or reinforced perhaps, the importance of local community sports clubs and clubs in villages and towns. I think we always knew they were important, but maybe not to what degree. I think this year we have seen that. They're rooted into the ground, like Tim said. They are the anchor that holds everything in place, but also a magnetic anchor. They bring so many people together. And for Islam to come together, the cricket club to use the power of bodies, I guess, in the cricket club, the number of players they have, join up with the parish council and help those in the community, is a fantastic idea. And why shouldn't, clubs do that all throughout the year, irrespective of being in difficult times with regards to COVID or not? I think hopefully we will see that moving forward. Just to provide a bit more statistics and info on that campaign, Islam Cricket Club actually won an award from the ECB off the back of it, a NatWest Connecting Communities Award. That's because they set up that group of 100 people, or more than 100 people, to help the elderly and vulnerable, delivered up to 300 fruit and vegetable boxes a week. And an unused telephone box was used as a community pantry, whilst iPads were donated to those family members in hospital so they could stay in touch. All some of the things we've just touched on there. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Really set the tone for the interviews that we wanted to try and get out across the 105 Sports Special over the weeks during lockdown. Hopefully we delivered on that. We've got more of those coming up after this break.
On Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, moving on to, I perhaps think, maybe my favourite interview, one of my favourite interviews of the year. Now, this was at a time when, I get lost with all the lockdowns, but it was in late October, and perhaps we think things were just maybe, it was obviously just before the second lockdown. Maybe we had that in our mind, that was impending, and everyone was feeling a bit low. But Tory MPs rejected Marcus Rashford, Manchester United footballer, his proposal to extend free school meal vouchers over the half term in October. Now, of course, Marcus Rashford has been outstanding in campaigning for this over the last year. Really, it's changed the way we perhaps think about footballers in that sense. So we always knew they have a platform, massive platform, and they're role models, whether they like it or not, because of that platform. But Marcus Rashford using that platform to share his voice, his opinions, his views on something so important such as this to the whole country was, I think it certainly changed the game in how we look at footballers and we look to them now for things perhaps that we would never look for before. And you see with people's campaigns, the way Raheem Sterling spoke out about racism as well, footballers really seem to be taking the lead or initiative now to try and use their platform for good. And hats off to Raheem Sterling, Marcus Rashford, etc. Anyway, more to the point, when Tory MPs rejected Marcus Rashford's proposal, local businesses, clubs, community clubs, etc., up and down the country jumped at the chance, absolutely jumped at the chance to help. It was just before half term, so they thought, well, what can we do? We're keen to help. How can we do so? So clubs up and down the country offered to provide free meals for kids. And it was really brilliant to see. Just flicking through Twitter, I mentioned it in this interview here with Somerton Rangers chairman Mark Goldsack, flicking through Twitter and social media and just seeing the constant stream, the barrage. Marcus Rashford was retweeting them constantly. Of all these clubs jumping out to help, it was, yeah, in pretty difficult times when everyone was feeling a bit down, it made me smile like a Cheshire cat, you could say. So here is that interview with Mark Goldsack, Somerton Rangers chairman, one of the clubs, one of the many in Cambridgeshire that helped out throughout half-term, providing free hot meals for kids.
The idea came about on Friday morning, and by Friday tea time, we'd got an army of volunteers. We'd got a kitchen full of donated food that's just been coming in ever since. And because people said that I might only be able to help by making a donation, we put a Just Giving page up and said, a couple hundred quid should cover it. And we've had over £2,000 on there as well.
Wow.
So it's just blown us away. But what we've been doing is we've been offering a two-course hot meal to any child that comes in. And some of the parents have had it as well, and they've all enjoyed it.
That is amazing. I have to say, when the news broke last week that MPs have rejected it, and then suddenly you saw this wave and wave and wave of action on social media from clubs up and down the country, restaurants, etc., and Marcus Rashford retweeting them, it just, I guess, really brought the whole sense of love and the nation together. It was such a great sight seeing all these people come together. Why did you feel it was important, though, Mark, to get involved at this time?
During the COVID lockdown, Soham had great support until we were stopped playing. And when we've started again, they've all come back. And, you know, it's a wonderful community. We're a club that's a hub right at the heart of it. And I quickly spoke to the committee members, and the answer was, well, we can do it, so we will. And that really was the reason we've done what we've done, and we'll continue. We've escalated a little bit on Friday. We've turned it into a craft afternoon for Halloween, and they can have the meal during spending some time.
Brilliant. And how many sort of people have offered their services to volunteer so far, Mark? Because obviously as a community radio station, we know the importance of volunteering.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 20, well past 20 people stepped forward, but we've had players coming in. Some of our players have come in to talk to some of the kids. And we've had people just doing crafts with them. We've had three registered chefs, fully qualified chefs, have given up their half-term weeks that they've taken as holiday to come and do the cooking for them. And just people from all walks of life. It's lovely.
Yeah, mate, I'm sitting here now and my smile is from ear to ear. It's amazing. How many, and the children as well, how many sort of children have you had through the door, and what has their response been? I bet they've loved it.
Well, the interesting thing is, and you know, I'm not going to fabricate it, we haven't had as many children through the door as we perhaps, well, certainly we've been able to feed, so we could have an awful lot more. But we've had 15 or so come through, and they've come from various walks of life. There's no doubt today that we had a couple turn up and the mum just didn't want to come into the room. And that's absolutely fine. You know, she obviously didn't want to be known or seen, and that's absolutely fine. But I would stress that we've not specified this meal is for those that qualify for free school meals. This has been for the children of Soham, because we thought doing it that way, everybody could assimilate with each other and there's no predetermination, no judgment.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, that must be, yeah, well, you can understand, of course, that the woman, but like you said, absolutely no prejudice or anything or looking at her in any way, sorts whatsoever. I bet the community spirit has been absolutely brilliant to see, isn't it, Mark, over the last week?
It's been fabulous. I think one of the biggest positives in what's been largely a negative year has been the rise in community support and community action, and particularly in the communities that I'm involved with. I live in Iceland, but Soham's my sort of hometown. And obviously I'm chairman of the club. Just to see people galvanised by it, the club. I mean, we had 18 children on the pitch before last night's game against Sudbury, all being coached by our management team, you know, for 20, 25 minutes and to link them into the club. And then all their parents stayed and watched the game as well, which was, it was brilliant. Really lovely night. I mean, the result didn't go for us, but it was a really lovely night.
Yeah, we'll come on to that in a minute. but sport is often one of the first to be shut down. You think of lockdown and start sort of March, April time, and almost one of the last to return as well. You think of fans not being allowed back into football stadiums now. But something like this over the past few days really emphasises how important sport is to people's lives and the community, not just for people who want to go and watch and cheer on their local team, but providing an outlet, a place to go, a safe place for so many people in the area.
Do you know, the funny thing is, when you reach the grand old age that we're reaching, or I'm reaching, sorry, when people ask you about, well, what do you miss from the football? What do you miss from playing football? People don't talk about the game. They don't talk about being on the pitch. They talk about the banter, the camaraderie, and the involvement. And I think that's what spectators get out of football in a similar way to what players get. You know, you miss that neighbourly feel, that maybe even that argument you have every week with the same fight, but it's just that human interaction. And, you know, I'm a counsellor and I spend my life on Zoom and Teams meetings at the moment, but, you know, actually physically getting to meet people is an absolute joy again.
Do you feel this real, real, absolute hub at the minute of community spirit, not just in CERN, but around so many places around the country who've offered their services this week to school kids? Do you feel this is just building that spirit, building that community for weeks and years to come? You mentioned this year, Mark, being in some ways like the silver lining of the COVID has been the community spirit and how positive people have been. Do you feel this will only just continue now in years to come?
I hope and pray that it does, because I think community and neighbourhood and everything is so important. And it's through that and through, I know so many voluntary groups have rose through the COVID period. And, you know, we've been helping the most vulnerable people. And that's what is resulting from these people all stepping up to help. So at the moment, the focus is on vulnerable children. But there's a lot of vulnerable adults out there. There's a lot of vulnerable people. And actually just being neighbourly and checking in on people and everything, that is what's happened in COVID. There's a strong argument that this happens anyway in good communities up and down the country. But I think this has just thrown a light on it and shown it to be more important than ever. And, you know, mental health is a huge thing these days, but anxiety, nervousness, the fear, you know, we're now on, I mean, as I'm speaking to you, it's, what, 6:30, I'm looking out the window, it's pitch dark, it's been raining all day. It's very easy to be down and miserable, so having something to look forward to, like a good game of football and a banter and everything, just raises the spirits.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mark, you really are. If people are listening and are apprehensive potentially about going, like one lady you said over the last few days, just provide some details how they can, if they want to obviously claim their free meals, how they can go to the...
It's not claiming free meals. I understand why you say that. It's come and have a look at the hub of your community, Sarmtown Rangers, right? Just come and see what we're all about. Have a cup of tea with us, have something to eat with us, bring your children, relax, enjoy yourself, and spend an hour or two in our company and just... You know, just get a feel for the other people that are coming here. You never know, you might find some new friends, your children might see people they know from school, etc. And we've been working with the schools. Before we started this, I spoke to all all four schools in the town, and they sent messages out. So we're just trying to say that thank you, really, because Sarmtown Rangers gets great support. It's 100 years of football at Julius Martin Lane next year, and this, I think, is a wonderful introduction into our, what we hope to be, a year of celebrations.
How amazing was that? I just love that interview. Brilliant from Mark. Fantastic work at Sarmtown Rangers. Fantastic work with so many clubs in Cambridgeshire and across the county, especially during that week. All throughout the year, really. The silver lining throughout the pandemic has been the community spirit, no doubt about it. Clubs, people coming together, helping one another, helping your neighbour. A really, really feel-good story, that. And we're going to end on another one. Lastly then, on today's show, of course you've heard of Imogen Papworth-Hardwell, a young girl who, when I spoke to her in May, said to me she wants to try and complete 7.1 million key PUPs, because that's how many key workers there are in the UK. This is what she said to me in May when she came on the 105 Sports Special.
Well, I saw the wonderful Captain Tom on the news walking around his garden, and he inspired me to do something to help as well. So I set up a Just Giving page for 9 key worker charities, and my idea was to do a key puppy for every key worker in the country. And Mum and Dad told me there were 7.1 million of them, which is loads. And it's going really well. The support from everyone has been amazing. I've done over 35,000 on my own, and people have donated over 120,000, which is amazing. And in total, I've done over 156,000. So only 6,940,000 to actually go.
Yeah, so she had quite a lot to go. And speaking to her dad at the time, we also spoke to her dad, Carl, in that interview as well. And he was probably fair to say apprehensive / realistic about the grand scale of the challenge. But I don't need to say this. As you know, Imogen completed the challenge on the 4th of November. When did the 4th of November? At the Abbey Stadium, Cambridge United's home ground. And it says here on the Cambridge Independent website that she did a total of 1,123,586 keepy uppies during an unbroken 195-day run, reaching more than 7,000 a day during lockdown and the summer holidays. I mean, that is amazing, absolutely amazing. And, of course, she won a Pride of Britain award as well. And I believe she got to meet her hero, Captain Tom, as she just said there. So, of course, we couldn't go without not getting her back on the show again. And I spoke to her a few days. In fact, it was a few hours, in fact, after she completed the challenge.
It felt so amazing that she finished the challenge. We're oh, my goodness, I finished the challenge. It was oh, my God, it's so incredibly exciting. I really can't believe that we finished the challenge only after 7 months. And when I started, I thought it was going to take me 97 years, even if I get some keepy uppie donations. I still thought it was going to take a couple of years. People have donated 5.9 million keepy uppies, and they are so kind and wonderful. And they've helped me raise so much money for 9 charities to help support and look after our key workers. I'll be sad that as it's been a really wonderful time and challenge, but it was a really good challenge to rest.
Well, it's a well-earned rest, let me tell you that. And you're a star, Imogen. You've done an amazing job. Are your legs tired? That's what I want to know. They must be after 7.1 million keepy uppies.
They were a little bit tired. Earlier today, they were, freezing.
So it's nice that you've managed to get the keepy uppies done probably just before winter comes in, so you don't have to be outside in the cold. How much money have you managed to raise so far, Imogen?
The challenge has been absolutely phenomenal, and it was so amazing, and I just didn't know, and it's just amazing that people who didn't know me went out into their gardens, and they helped me raise over £11,100. The 9 fantastic key worker charities that I'm supporting for the charity. It's really, really amazing that £11,100 is a lot of money.
It absolutely is. And you must have some of the best football skills in the country now. Your keepy uppies are amazing. Have you seen your football skills improve over the last 7 months as well, Imogen?
Yes, I've seen them improve quite a lot. after lockdown. My record was 40 keepy uppies, and now it's 800, and that's a massive difference, and I'm really proud of myself for doing it, beating my record.
You should be proud. That is amazing. Now, you've met some amazing people along the way as well, Imogen. Right at the start, when we had this conversation back in May, when you were starting up your challenge, you said you were inspired by Sir Captain Tom and his challenge of walking around his house, but you got to meet him, didn't you? I think it was at the Pride of Britain Awards.
Yeah, that was really, really, really amazing. I mean, Captain Tom has inspired me to do the challenge, and it's just really amazing to actually meet the man who me to do this whole challenge, and he really deserves his Pride of Britain award. Really deserves. He's such a fantastic person, and I mean, everyone in the world is saying thank you to him. And yeah, it's just really amazing to meet him and present him the Pride of Britain award.
Yeah, I bet it was amazing. And you've also met some celebrities since we last spoke. Some England footballers in Georgia Stanway and Izzy Christiansen. How are them two?
Oh, they were so nice. It was so special. And it was so wonderful that they wanted to help and support the challenge. And that was just it's just really amazing how they want to like support it, and it's really, really amazing.
And I saw on the video you were talking about your dreams and ambitions to play for England as well with them.
Yeah, I really like to play for England and be at Lineup. I also had a kickabout with a couple of lineups, and that was really cool.
Brilliant. Carl, just a quick word from you. How proud are you of Imogen for doing this challenge? I mean, it seemed a big challenge when we spoke in May, and I think you're well aware of that as well, but she's done absolutely brilliantly.
To be honest, Ollie, I didn't think we would actually get here quite so quickly. It's been absolutely fantastic, and as a family, we are totally proud of her and what she's achieved, and the very fact that she's inspired so many people across the country, across the region, in Cambridge here itself, and it's absolutely brilliant. And I think that's probably one of the kind of proudest moments that we've had, to be honest, is that, you know, come rain, come shine, she's been going out there. And it's some of the supporters that have helped her through this as well. You know, I think you even said to me, didn't you, Imogen, that, oh, do I have to get out today when it's so rainy? And we said, yeah, look at all these people and gone out and said, oh, yeah, you're right. So out she goes, you know, sometimes had to hide in my greenhouse because it was like thundering or something. We don't, you're not allowed back in, girl, out there, you know. So, yeah, and so it's been her determination, to be honest, from the get-go, which has been absolutely brilliant, and it's something that we will be really proud of her for, you know, for a long, long time.
Yeah, and Carl, the underlying message of what you've done as well, it's just fantastic, the whole, like I touched on earlier, bringing everyone together, the community together, but just doing something amazing and raising money for people who put in so much work to our country. And when you think back of, obviously, this time we will do when we're older, and of course there'll be the negative regards to the lockdown and all the unfortunate fatalities, but there's been the silver lining of, I say, people coming together and the real shining lights, the likes of Captain Tom, and Imogen is absolutely right up there alongside them.
Thank you
for saying that. There's a certain amount of poetry to this, I feel, is that, you know, just at the kind of beginning of lockdown, she started this, and then we're just going into the second lockdown, and the fact that she's managed to achieve it within that time is, I don't know, it feels right that we've done what we've done. And, you know, and one of the things that has been absolutely amazing has been the support from two-year-olds knocking around their balloons.
Yeah, they're going out into the garden, like donating QPSs. It's like really, really, really amazing.
I know, and we had Sam, who was in a hospital bed recovering, okay, doing chemotherapy. And she was doing keepy-uppies from by the side of a hospital bed. We've had pan-disability groups, people who are amputees, people who are blind, still doing keepy-uppies, going outside. And we've had quite a few people saying that it's given them some purpose during lockdown. And that, you know, it's not me saying that. That's them. It's given them a focus. Something to do that gets them outside every day or every other day to do some keepy-uppy for Imogen and contribute to the challenge. And it's helped their mental health through this time as well. And that's what, you know, quite a few people have said to us. So, you know, that's been really a wonderful side effect of from doing this challenge.
Sports on Cambridge 105 Radio.
What a story to end on. Amazing from Imogen Papworth-Heidel. The power of kids, eh? An 11-year-old girl who decides to go out and do 7.1 million keepy-uppies, giving so many people across the county or the country purpose during lockdown. How cool is that? That pretty much rounds off today's show. Thank you very much for tuning in. That ends our two parts of the 105 Sports Special Festive Editions, looking back on some of the best interviews over the past year in a pretty poor year. Hopefully provided some sort of light and positivity over the last two shows. Thank you very much for tuning in once again. Whatever you're doing, have a really happy and safe new year, and you'll hear from me again very soon. Bye bye. Cambridge 105 Radio.